Window World is proud to present Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. Simply the best for less at WindowsKansasCity.com.
It was just a nearly perfect weekend. We hope you certainly enjoyed yours. Only one negative thing about a glorious weekend. If you live in the Midwest, you know the weather was just terrific all weekend long. And that is the Masters just didn't deliver. You know by now that it is absolutely my favorite thing. Sunday at the Masters is a tradition for me, my friends, our family. We're golfy people. We love this tournament. It is the best tournament. It is the best event to watch in all of golf. And it's the one event that people who don't follow golf very closely will check out and see once a year, a little bit like the Daytona 500 is to racing or the Indy 500, things like that. You may not follow it on a weekly basis, but you see the big one. And this was the big one, and John Rahm is absolutely amazing. He had three wins already this year coming into the Masters and came from behind on a Sunday where they played, I think, essentially 29 holes on Sunday. They finished the third round, which rained out in Augusta on Saturday. They finished up the third round on Sunday morning, took a couple-hour break, and then the leaders went back out on the course and played 18 for the Sunday round, and John Rahm started the day two or three behind Brooks Koepka with 18 holes to go. And Rahm just played beautifully, just played a wonderful round of golf. Koepka made a handful of birdies, could never really get things going in his fourth round and lost that lead and wound up finishing second with Phil Mickelson. Amazingly, Phil Mickelson at age 52 shot 7 under 65. And for a moment toward the end of the tournament, when Phil rolled in a birdie putt on 18 to get to -8, he had the best score in the clubhouse. And, you know, typically when you do that, you hang around and you hope the other guy comes backwards. At that point, John Rahm, I think, was 11 under. Phil was 3 back. Maybe he was 10 under, only 2 back. And, you know, you're hoping that Rahm's going to hit one in the woods or something and come backwards. That happens a lot. It happens a lot at the Masters, and it didn't happen. John Rahm was just flat out too good, too steady, just hitting some remarkable bombs with his driver. Insane how he turns an incredibly long course into something completely manageable and just overwhelmed it. John Rahm is a great, great, great Masters champion. I think people consider him the best player in the world right now. It was awesome to see Brooks Koepka back at top form. He's been injured for a couple of years, but prior to that, he won 4 majors in under 2 years. And at just age 32, Koepka's a guy that doesn't like to play a lot. He doesn't really like to play on the PGA Tour, which is why he left for the LIV Tour. There's fewer events to play. He likes it that way. He loves to play in the majors, and he always gets his game up for the big events, and he was terrific this weekend but fell short in his quest to get a green jacket. Phil Mickelson, of course, is the most famous of all the LIV golfers, but Patrick Reed, a former Masters champion, finished 4th. LIV golf represented right at the top of this board, and a lot of people are talking about, wow, there really isn't much difference between the best players in the PGA Tour and on the LIV golf tour, and that certainly was borne out. We talked with Danny last week on a patron podcast about how would CBS handle the golfers that are not on the PGA Tour, and they didn't handle them very well. They showed almost no Phil Mickelson all day long on Sunday as he was charging up the leaderboard. When he was tied for like 4th place, they have a little box in the corner on the screen that lists the top 5 golfers, the little leaderboard right there in the corner. And Phil was tied with the players at the bottom of that. I think it was Patrick Cantlay and one other golfer. They were maybe -4 or -5 at the time. And Phil was tied with them, but they put the other names up and not Phil. Like, his name was never on TV. They barely showed him. They showed him when he would make a birdie. Many times it was not live. They didn't show live shots of Phil Mickelson. They showed it after he made a shot or did something. They'd go back to it and show it. And we wound up maybe seeing, gosh, not much more than 6 or 7 shots that Phil Mickelson hit all day while shooting 65 and was the clubhouse leader. I didn't see an interview. I could be wrong. I did not see an interview. Normally, somebody goes to the clubhouse and has the low score, the lead in the clubhouse, especially a past champion like Phil. They grab him for a couple of words, and he says, well, you know, I'm not rooting against Rahm, but I'm staying here. I'm the leader in the clubhouse. I didn't see that. I thought the coverage was biased against the LIV golfers. Incredibly biased. I think CBS is in on it. I think the Masters was in on it. I think the Masters is partial to the PGA Tour. I'm not blaming them for that. They can be on the side of the PGA Tour versus LIV Golf. They did not invite the chairman of LIV Golf, Greg Norman, to the Masters. He was not there. Took a couple of shots at him. Did not invite him to attend. So clearly they've decided that they like the PGA Tour better than LIV Golf, but they also know they cannot have their tournament without these players from the LIV Golf Tour. And that was borne out on this leaderboard, even though John Rahm from the PGA Tour did win, Brooks Koepka and Phil Mickelson finishing second, and Patrick Reed next, all from the LIV Golf Tour, made it pretty obvious that we've got a very interesting setup in golf, and the LIV Tour does have real players on it. There's a really cool footnote to John Rahm winning the Masters, and I think this is something we're going to see a lot of in the next few years. As the greatest athletes in the world are, you know, entering into, typically the greatest athletes are in their 20s to late 20s in most sports. Patrick Mahomes is the same age as John Rahm, for example, 28 years old, right in their prime. I mean, it's just as good as it gets. We're going to see more and more of this happen. John Rahm shared a story with the press after winning the green jacket, and he was very emotional when he won. He shared a story and said, you know, I tweeted out 10 years ago that I was going to win the Masters when I was a teenager. He was at a Panda Express, apparently eating with his friends. This is like his senior year in high school. He's 18, and he's at Panda Express, and he gets a fortune cookie that says, your talents will be recognized and rewarded. And he takes a snap of it at Panda Express, and he puts it on Twitter and says, that's right, I'm going to win the Masters someday. And there it was on Sunday. And that's pretty cool. I do think we're going to just see more and more of that. You know, some high school kids say, I'm going to win a Super Bowl someday. Well, if 100,000 high school quarterbacks say they're going to win the Super Bowl someday, one of them probably will. If they all put it on social media, I still think it's a neat story that he did that. And, you know, you think back to a kid being a teenager eating at Panda Express with his friends and getting a fortune cookie that says your talents will be recognized and rewarded, and then saying you're going to win the Masters. That's a pretty cool story to go win the Masters. John Rahm was a great, I mean great, champion in this event. He could not have played any better, but we didn't get the typical drama. Typically what happens is two or three golfers fight it out, and it becomes very dramatic, and somebody needs to make an eagle or make a big shot or whatever, and then typically one golfer kind of blows up and goes backwards. That sort of happened with Victor Hovland, who had a great chance of winning this tournament most of the day, but his back nine, the last 10 or 12 holes, he just kind of fell apart and went backwards, but it wasn't really that dramatic because he wasn't in the lead. He got within a couple shots of the lead and then fell back, but that didn't really create the drama that you typically look for at Augusta National. It's something you can't really control, but sometimes you just got to tip your cap and say somebody was outrageously great, and that was John Rahm. He was just sensational in this tournament. Tiger Woods pulled out of the event on Sunday. Of course, he had very famously the car wreck and the leg injuries. Augusta is an extremely hilly golf course. It doesn't really look that way a lot of times on TV. It's a very difficult walk. I've walked the entire course. It is a hard walk. It will wear you out, and Tiger couldn't finish the tournament. He made the cut, but could not finish the tournament. It was just too painful with his legs, and we'll begin to ask questions like, is this his last go-round in all these things? Will he stop playing? Or, I mean, if you can't finish a golf tournament, should you be playing? I think people are going to start asking that about Tiger Woods. But a wonderful wet weekend at Augusta, but sunny was just glorious. Sunday was just glorious. It was beautiful and sunny, and the weather was terrific for a John Rahm Masters Championship. Okay, some comments have surfaced from, you've undoubtedly heard the Bud Light beer storm taking place in America with this Dylan Mulvaney, the transgender influencer. It's a man. Dylan Mulvaney's a man that dresses like a girl and acts like a seven-year-old girl. In fact, I heard one female commentator saying, okay, this is a boy that wants to be a girl and is on social media putting all these videos up and people watch. And I think this is really important, what Bud Light failed to do here when they brought Dylan Mulvaney in and made a can for him, her, or whatever, and it went out to all the social followers. I think what they miscalculated is, and I don't have any hate in my heart for this person. I'm just telling you what's going on. People are entertained by Dylan Mulvaney on social media because they are laughing at her, not with her. And I don't think they understand this. People follow this person in a mocking way. They don't say hateful things. They don't respond in hate and, you know, whatever. But if you're watching, you're laughing at this person. You're not laughing with this person. And I heard a female commentator say, look, this is a boy. This is a young man who wants to be a girl and dresses like a girl and acts like no other woman we've ever seen. The outrageous things this person does on social media and the way this woman, I'm using the air quotes, the way this woman acts on social media is not how women act. It's mocking, making fun of women. It's outrageous. Women don't act like that. They don't talk like that. They don't dance like this. They don't act like this person. This is a caricature of a woman, basically, is the way to describe it. And I think that's really where Bud Light went wrong. They partnered up with somebody that people laugh at, not laugh with. I don't think this is a beloved person. There may be in the trans community, some sort of outpouring or love or whatever. But when you talk about millions of followers, people are laughing. This is like and you have to wonder about the same thing about drag shows for some people, or, you know, cross-dressing or whatever it is that they do to entertain you. It's funny if you are entertained, but they're laughing at Dylan Mulvaney. The executive vice president of marketing for Bud Light gave an interview before this firestorm. This is a couple weeks ago, before this whole thing happened. Her name is Alyssa Heinerscheid. I assume she lives in St. Louis. And she is, if you were going to decide in your own mind exactly what a far left woke 30-something executive vice president at Anheuser-Busch InBev would look like and sound like, this is her. This is exactly her. She was on a podcast and did an interview saying she was hired for a very distinct reason, and that is to rebrand Bud Light because it's always been marketed as a fratty beer, meaning frat house, guy humor, silly guy frat boy humor that's, quote, out of touch, she said. She said the brand is in decline. It's been in decline for years, and she was hired to get it more current with younger beer drinkers, or there is, quote, no future, end quote, for Bud Light. Now, I don't know how this happens in the corporate world. I don't. I think the important part here is where she's saying the brand is in decline. There's no future for Bud Light if we don't change. If we don't do this, we don't do that. This is a really important thing. Bud Light is the number one beer in America. There is no higher ranking. The beer market's getting fractured, obviously. Craft beers are just becoming more and more popular. Bud Light owns many of those brands, or Budweiser owns many of those brands. Budweiser has the fastest growing beer in America in Michelob Ultra. Their sales are going through the roof. They've branded it as sort of a fitness beer, if you will. So marketing does work. It's even lighter and less beery than Bud Light. But they hire this person to do this, and you just have to ask yourself the question, why? You're still the number one beer. You've got generations of loyal, ridiculously loyal customers and beer drinkers. Yes, you want new Bud Light drinkers, young people. Why can't you market to that? When is Bud Light going to be a female-dominated product? The answer is it's not. It's a dude beer. It's an inexpensive, very drinkable, sit down during a football game and have six or seven of them, light beer. That's what it is. And why you're trying to market it to transgender women is beyond me. It's beyond stupid. These corporations are just outrageous in the dumb things that they do. And this is as dumb as it gets. You have the number one beer in America, and your vice president is saying publicly that the brand is in decline and there could be no future for this beer if they don't change the way they market it and reach younger people that are apparently not out of touch and not frat boys. No, frat boys are exactly who you want. You want the dudes that just go buy the 30-pack and pound through them with their buddies. That's who you want. You don't want the drinker that goes and gets a 6-pack of Chimay or something, a very fancy, expensive Belgian beer, and you drink one. That's it. No, your quantity is everything with Bud Light. That's how you become the number one beer. I just don't understand it. These people can't help themselves. They're so tied up in so many weird things that they're just beyond help. Of course, Kid Rock's video is now very famous. Kid Rock went out behind his property in Tennessee with what looked to me like a machine gun. And there were a couple of 30 packs of Bud Light over on a table, and he just shoots them up and explodes them. It millions and millions and millions of people have seen him do this. We've heard a lot of people speak out against Bud Light. Travis Tritt, the country singer, is banning Bud Light from his trailer and his camp and all this other stuff. Whatever. Again, I'm not banning anything. I'm not going on some anti-Bud Light thing. I just don't know how you keep this marketing person. And if this is your marketing person, maybe you should develop a product that appeals to the alphabet community. Put the rainbows on a can. Make a different beer. Come up with a different name and market it directly to them and say, look, this is a product for you. You don't take the number one frat boy beer in America, the number one beer in America, period, and say, okay, we're going to go over here to this and try to get these folks. I don't get it. Kid Rock was in Miami with President Trump on Saturday night at UFC 287, the Ultimate Fighting Championships. This is Dana White's league. Trump was sitting ringside with Kid Rock, Mike Tyson, and Dana White, who owns UFC, or is the president of. They're selling it, so he's not the majority owner anymore, but he is the president. And a fighter named Jorge Masvidal, who is terrific, announced he's retiring. After his fight, he grabbed the microphone, you know how they do, and they're, you know, ramping up the crowd and the whole thing. Masvidal's announcing that he's retiring, and he's so thrilled to be in the ring, because look right over there, he hollers. He goes, look right there. It's the greatest president in the history of the world right there. Donald Trump is here ringside for my fight. And the crowd roared. They started chanting USA and let's go, Brandon. And it's a very conservative sport. Dana White's a huge conservative. He likes his fighters, to sort of be that way. And guess what? They market to men. Dylan Mulvaney will not be doing any ad campaigns for UFC. He won't. She won't. Whatever. Won't. This is a very manly sport. Toxic masculinity to the max. And I love it. I love it. And a lot of the fighters are just huge, huge Trump guys. Pretty cool stuff there. Ringside on Saturday night. KKHI is brought to you by the Finch Knife Company. Online at finchknifeco.com. We're still a couple months away from Father's Day, but it's not too early to ask for one of these for Father's Day. If you want to get on the good list, just tell me to go to finchknifeco.com. Take a look at the several different variations and models of Finch pocket knives. Wonderful designs. They have beautiful mother-of-pearl wood or bone handles. All of them have 155-centimeter U.S. steel blades. They're excellent tools. I mean, this is a wonderful knife. And you're going to keep life from getting dull with a Finch pocket knife. You want to see them in person, just go to Shields in Overland Park or the Bullet Hole in Mission. They've got them stocked right there, or you can order them online at finchknifeco.com. Roberts Robinson, Chevrolet Buick GMC, now taking orders for the all-new 2023 GMC Canyon. It is the perfect midsize truck. That's what you're looking for. Order it up. They build it right in St. Louis, deliver it right to Excelsior Springs, or take it right to your house. The GMC Canyon, available now at Roberts Robinson, online at robertsrobinson.com, or call Tim at Roberts Robinson. Say, I want to build my vehicle. Let's do it. 816-826-1563, robertsrobinson.com, and GMC. We are professional grade. And Ron Buck and his team at Buck Roofing, online at rbuckroofing.com. You'll sleep well knowing Buck Roofing fixed the roof over your head, and you'll sleep well knowing Buck Roofing came out and did a free roof inspection and walked away with a thumbs up and said, you're good to go, man. You got another 5 years in this roof. That's what you want to hear. Call Ron. The roof inspection is free. 913-384-2680. And you will sleep well knowing Buck Roofing fixed the roof over your head. I've been enjoying some tax time stories. I mean, not my own. I hate tax season. I've been, this whole running your own mom and pop business sounds pretty easy until you get into the weeds of taxes and accounting and all this other stuff. And I got some issues going on. It's just, ugh, I hate it. The underlying thing for me is I just don't like paying taxes, right? I don't mind paying some. I don't like paying as much as we pay. And I don't like where most of the money goes. So first of all, I'm coming into tax season with a bad attitude. That's just me. Even though I'm an optimist by nature, try to be positive. Nah, taxes, not so much. But there's some cool tax stories out there, and we've chronicled some of them. None more interesting this year than a gentleman named Edwin Castro. Edwin Castro lives in he lives about 15 miles, 20 miles northeast of downtown Los Angeles. So he lives in Southern California. And he hit the Powerball in November. It was November. $2.04 billion. So 2.04, I'll just go right to the headline here. He's keeping, out of 2.04 billion, he is keeping 628 million. That's crazy. Edwin Castro took the lump sum payout of 997 million. The lump sum now is less than half what the actual jackpot is. So 2.04 billion, he gets 997 million. Now, the tax expert, the story that I read, said that he's paying 24% of that to the IRS. That sounds low to me. That sounds low. I don't know how he's paying 24% to the IRS, but that's what they're claiming. They did something to whittle him down to 24%. But then they popped another 13% on for the state of California, which brings his $2.04 billion this April down to $628 million. How's he going to get by? I sure hope Edwin can get by on his $628 million. It is still quite remarkable. I mean, that's an amazing sum of money. $628 million is a ridiculous sum of money. But wow, $2.04 billion is what you hit, and then you walk away with $628. I'll take it. But that's just got to hurt writing those checks to the IRS in the state of California. He clearly won it in the wrong state. So 13% of $2 billion is what? $260 million? Something like that? Yeah, about $250 million. $250 million went to the state of California. If he bought that ticket in Texas or Florida or Nevada or Montana, where there's no state income taxes, he would have $250 million more. Just because the state that he won in. Crazy stuff. We like the tax time stories. Maybe you have one. Send it to me. If you've got a good one, send it to me. It's a much better story than this creepy video that's out there circulating around now of the Dalai Lama. You're kind of aware of who the Dalai Lama is or what the Dalai Lama is in, you know, Tibet. And the Dalai Lama is about peace and love and good. And a video has surfaced. The Dalai Lama is 87. And he was on stage a couple months ago with a young boy. And they do public events where it's supposed to be pure and it's goodness and holy. And he kisses this young boy on the lips. And that's pretty creepy. But not as creepy as what happened after that. He's holding the boy by his shoulders. They're face to face. The Dalai Lama is sitting and the boy is standing. I don't know how old the boy is. He looked like about an 8-year-old to me. Maybe 9, 7, 8, 9, somewhere in there. And he's holding this boy and he kisses him on the lips. And then he sticks his tongue out and says, "Do you want to suck my tongue?" And the Dalai Lama sticks his tongue out right up in the boy's face. And the boy leans in and it looks like he's getting ready to. And then that's where the video stopped that I saw. I don't know whether he did or didn't. It is, oh my gosh, it's 20 times creepier than Joe Biden. And Biden's creepy. The Dalai Lama. So they've apologized. The Dalai Lama's office has apologized. But then they, in their apology, said, you know, this was innocent teasing, and part of Tibetan culture is to show your tongue. Apparently it's a common thing in Tibet. You show your tongue to people? Okay, great. The Dalai Lama, I mean, you've put the apology out. That's great. But in the apology, don't say, well, it was innocent teasing, and, you know, in Tibetan culture, we show our tongue. No. Apologize, move on, let everybody know that the Dalai Lama is a creepy old pervert at 87, that literally asked a little boy to suck his tongue. I have no idea what that is. There is really not any excuse. I don't care what your culture is. I don't care if you stick your tongue out all the time. Okay? 87-year-old man, 8-year-old boy, wrong. In any society, wrong. Wrong, wrong, wrong on all levels. And it is... it is out there creepy if you haven't seen it. It's easy to find. If you want to see it, I'm not sure you want to see it. Don't do it on my recommendation. I'm just letting you know it's out there. And we've got, we're talking about world leaders or famous, important people that are looked up to. Well, Joe Biden has been passed on the creepy scale. Sniffing little girls' hair is not nearly as creepy as asking a boy to suck your tongue. Although Joe Biden, according to the diary, showered with his daughter. Oh, God, what is wrong with people? What is it? What is it with these people? There's been a big kerfuffle over National Public Radio in the past week. I don't know if you saw this story or not. NPR, you may have listened to it before or may not. It's very liberal. It's just liberal through and through. And NPR has hundreds of stations, affiliates around the country. And it's funded by your tax dollars. Again, this was what I was talking about, things I don't like our tax money going to. NPR and PBS are right at the top of the list. They should be competing in the marketplace with all the other broadcast outlets and operations that have to do it by their own hard work instead of the government funding it. So as Elon Musk is changing Twitter last week, he designated on NPR's Twitter feed, which has millions of followers, below where it says NPR and what they are, he added the words state-sponsored media. And my God, they melted down on the left. Now, I don't know what could be more accurate than that term. They are state-sponsored media. They are hard left. It is completely one-sided. And of all the chicken spit things Republicans do, that we are like, they're, you know, it's like, we feel like Democrats are ultimate fighters. Like they'll hold, punch, kick, they'll do anything. And what Republicans do back is just kind of slap and play patty cake. Softies, this is right at the top of my list. Why in the world do Republicans in America keep funding NPR and PBS by no choice of their own? Why don't our leaders stop this? This is a simple fix. And you put this forth to the American public, and Congress could write a law right now. They can write a law that says all government money to media, NPR, PBS, and wherever else, all government funding to media must be equal politically. It's very simple. This is the easiest thing in the world. National Public Radio is on 24 hours a day. You give, basically, the Republican Party control for an hour. Then you give the Democrat Party control for an hour. And they switch off every other hour, all day long, 24 hours a day. You can put anything you want on there, but it's going to be equal. The right and the left will be equal. We have laws like this on the books already about equal time given by media outlets, private media outlets or public companies. We have all kinds of laws on the books about equal time for candidates. How in the world are we funding NPR and PBS like we do? Hundreds of millions of dollars every year. It drives me absolutely crazy. Now, this is my industry, and I'd love it if the government funded this. You think the feds are going to, you know, fund KKHI? I don't. I don't expect them to, but I'd take it. If they wanted to give me funding every year from people's tax dollars, I'll take it. Or maybe just give me a tax break because I'm a media company. I'll take that. That's not going to happen. But they fund NPR and all the far left spew that they have on there. It's bad. It is hard left. Far hard left, NPR and PBS. And we fund it. And they melted down because Elon Musk put on their Twitter thing that NPR is, quote, state-sponsored media. Well, over the weekend, Elon Musk changed. And when I heard he changed, I was like, oh, no. Don't tell me he caved. He didn't. They've come up with another moniker to put. And they're doing this all over the world, by the way. It's not just here. It's Russia, Iran, China. There are media outlets that have Twitter feeds, and he's putting the same thing on those. And it says underneath, now, not state-sponsored media, it says government-funded media. That it's more than appropriate. That's more than appropriate for people to know, here they are, this is what they are, this is government-funded. I think the consumer has a right to know that, and it should be labeled that way. And you'll probably agree with this. There is no way in the United States of America the government should be funding any media. None. Shouldn't be happening. The only thing I could see is, you know, they used to have Voice of America. I'm not sure I know exactly what it's called now. They have a satellite channel or some options for military bases that they have specifically for service personnel around the world. I could see that. That's kind of like in-house. It's like in-house broadcasting or something. But NPR, PBS, no. This is Republicans should do this. And if you put forth the bill and you passed it in the House that said we will have equal time, 24 hours a day, we'll change it up every hour, left, right, left, right, left, right, 24 hours a day. If you pass that bill and then the Senate didn't pass it, the Democrats don't vote on it, or the president wouldn't sign it, you've outed them. You've outed them. This is what I say. Don't play patty cake. Don't play patty cake. Hit them hard. Hit them in the jaw with a fist and get that stuff out in front of people and show them for what they are. You just got to show them for what they are. All right, KKHI is proud to be, well, good friends with and affiliated with Amazing Garage Floors. They truly are Amazing Garage Floors. I love mine and you'll love yours. This is the perfect time of year to schedule an appointment. Have John out to your house to take a look. He'll give you a free estimate. And then you can decide whether you want to do it or not. You're going to love your garage with an amazing garage floor from AmazingGarageFloors.net. Call 913-901-7139 and make your garage floor amazing. It really does change the space dramatically. MyPillow.com has a promo code of KKHI. If you're looking for a mattress topper, sheets, slippers, or the world-famous MyPillow, the 2.0 is on sale right now. Best promo code available, KKHI. It's buy one, get one on the MyPillow 2.0. Or call 800-923-9034 and get your very own MyPillows today. MyPillow.com and MyStore.com. KKHI is the promo code. Appreciate you mentioning us when you work with Mike Lindell and his team at MyPillow. And our friends at Back 9 Development, TJ Vilkanskis is just a really creative, smart, hardworking, intelligent guy that builds beautiful properties. Whether it's a new custom home and you're not, you know, you've got a property and you're thinking about building a home and you don't know exactly which builder or which home, custom homes, Back 9 Development does that. They also work in some commercial properties as well. If you'd like to, if you have a space or some land and you're thinking about developing it, it doesn't hurt to call TJ and kick it around and say, hey, what do you think of this idea? Back9development.com. All their portfolio of astounding work is online at back9development.com or call TJ personally at 785-236-0161. Again, he's just really creative and smart and has wonderful ideas, and the execution and the level of distinction of his homes and projects is easily seen when you go to the website, back9development.com. Good stuff there with TJ. Travis Kelce threw out the first pitch on Friday at the Cleveland Indians game. I haven't read reports. I don't know if he was sauced. I don't know. Travis Kelce's too good of an athlete to do what he did. The ball barely made it halfway to home plate. He basically just stuffed it in the ground. Like maybe he's been spiking the football so long that it was inevitable that he was going to spike the first pitch. It was dreadful. And he went running to the catcher and hugged him and made a joke out of it like, I'm terrible. There's no way. We've seen Travis Kelce throw a football, right? We've seen that. It's not great, but it's certainly better than his baseball first pitch. It was the most Travis Kelce thing ever. That's the way I describe it. If you haven't seen it yet, it's among the worst you've ever seen. There's been some bad ones. Fauci's was terrible. I mean, there's been some really bad first pitches. My buddy Tony said, we were talking about it on Friday. He said, you know who threw out the best first pitch ever? And I hadn't forgotten it, but we just hadn't talked about it in a long time. He said, George W. Bush, right after 9/11. Do you remember that? That was an awesome scene. It was a perfect pitch. And it was really the right president at the right time. Truly. There was no, you know, if something like that happened today, I'm just thinking out loud here. How would the Biden administration politicize that and blame the Republicans for it? because that's what they do. Somehow, some way, he would try to badmouth and blame the extreme MAGA Republicans. It's their fault with all this rhetoric. Or, you know, George W. Bush clearly was an outstanding president at that moment. I was really disappointed in Bush's last couple of years. I thought his economics policies were a train wreck and bailouts and all the stuff he was doing. I was like, no, that's not what a Republican should be doing. And he did. We've now learned that most of those Republicans were more part of the apparatus, the deep state, if you want to call it that, than we ever really knew. But man, after 9/11, he was good. He was really good for America. I'm not talking about the war and invasion and all that stuff. I'm just talking about the months right after. Right president, right time. He handled it brilliantly. And I don't know when that first pitch was. Would that have been in October? Was it like 2 or 3 weeks later? I want to say it was closer than that. You know, we shut everything down for several days. Sports didn't play for a while, I think. But it was cool. It was a great moment where he had the bullhorn when he visited New York City, Ground Zero. And then the first pitch, just spectacular. Much better than Travis Kelce's first pitch, which was in no way, shape, or form any good at all in any way. The Boston Bruins have made history in the NHL. We don't do a lot of hockey here, but man, you got to tip your cap to this one. In 1996, the Detroit Red Wings won 62 games. In 2019, Tampa won 62 games. Heading into Sunday's game, the Bruins had won 62 games. And then at Philadelphia on Sunday, Boston wins 5-3 and sets the NHL record for most wins ever in a season. Woo! 63 wins. That is pretty darn cool. The Boston Bruins are going to be a handful. They're going to be tough to beat, huh? In the Stanley Cup playoffs. A new movie opened up, and there's word on the street. Well, the movies are back. The theaters are not, 100% back because there's so much streaming. But I don't think there's any COVID linger to movies anymore. I think that's gone. I think the streaming is here forever, and the movies will never be exactly what they were. But people still like going to the movies, and they certainly like going to the movies when the movie is good, and it's something that everybody likes. You know, a big, broad movie that anybody can go to and enjoy and escape reality for a couple hours. And that happened in a big way this weekend from a picture made by Universal Studios. Their animation division, I think it's called Illumination. Their animation division is on fire with the Minions movies and some of these other things that they're doing. They are taking over Disney as the number one animation studio. And they just topped Disney's Frozen 2 for the best animated all-time opening, box office opening. Their long weekend opening for Super Mario Brothers, animated cartoon movie, did $368 million. And it is not slowing down. It gets an audience rating of 96%. This is exactly what you think it is. You've heard of Super Mario Brothers, the game. They made them into characters, and they've made a movie, and I've seen the trailer, and it looks fun. It looks really fun. And the kids love it. And who doesn't love kids' movies and animated movies? I do. I have zero difficulty at all ranking Toy Story in my top five movies of all time. The original Toy Story, I was so blown away. Now, my kids, I watched it 100 times because, we would get the VHS tape and just play it over and over and over. But the first time you went and saw it, you're like, this looks different than anything I've ever seen. This story is original. It's new. It's not some ripoff of something else. It's not just another Batman thing or Spider-Man or something like that. I was like, this is absolutely brilliant. Toy Story, the original. Some people thought Toy Story, the last one maybe was the best one. No, not even close for me. No, the original Toy Story, just because you went and saw it and you went, wow, I just saw something completely different that I've never seen before, and it's fabulous. So Toy Story is definitely in my top five movies of all time. Definitely. No trouble doing animation that way. But now it looks like Universal is taking over Disney as the animation king, as they're coming up with original things. They're taking characters from a video game and making movies out of it, and that's pretty cool. $368 million worth of cool. Frozen 2 held the previous record at like $330 million. Super Mario Brothers. If I had a grandbaby, I'd be going, man. If I had a grandkid, I'd be going to the Super Mario Brothers movie. I can guarantee you that. I need a grandchild. That's what I need. That's exactly what I need. All right, our final involves Taylor Swift. That's coming up in just a second. We are brought to you by Cross Kitchens, online at crosskitchenskc.com. I think they're starting my buddy's house this month. He's redoing his man cave. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo. There better be some invitations coming. I better get the invite over there after this baby's complete, because they're doing a complete remodel downstairs, and it's going to look great. CrossKitchensKC.com, 816-898-7047. And Advanced Medical Imaging, see what's inside. I was at a party over the weekend, a birthday party on Saturday night for a friend, and I didn't hear about this at the party. After the party, I heard about it, that there is a person, we're not going to do any names or anything here, but I didn't really realize this person's not a hypochondriac, but a real worrier about his health, like always worried that something bad's going to happen. Not convinced, but just worrying about it. And Jessica said, hey, what's the number over there at Advanced Medical Imaging? I'm recommending to this friend, go get the heart scan. Just get it done and see what's inside. I mean, that's a perfect phrase for exactly what Advanced Medical Imaging is. Now, you may need an MRI or a CT scan sometime, and this is the way to go. They use your insurance, and they don't make you wait 2 weeks to get your test. You can get in today or tomorrow. It's a beautiful thing, to be honest. But we also do the heart scan once a year, because why wouldn't you? All the things that insurance pays for, it does not pay for this heart scan, but it's under $100 out of your pocket, and they see all the organs in your torso and pass that on to your doctor. It's a beautiful, they'll give you your plaque score, and mine was zero. I feel pretty good about that. We see people have these heart events, and you're like, wow, they didn't know they had blockage. Go do this test. It's easy. It's under $100. Do it once a year. See what's inside. Advanced Medical Imaging is online at medimageks.com. That's medimageks.com. All our sponsors are at the KK list. We've got a website dedicated just to sponsors, thekklist.com. If you'd like to support our sponsors in any way, whether it's goods or services, visit thekklist.com and see them all right there. If you don't remember the phone number for Advanced Medical Imaging or something like that, it's there. It links right to their website. The phone number's there too. They're all right there in one neat place, thekklist.com. Taylor Swift is off and running on a record-shattering tour. You've heard about this, and you've heard about the price gouging from Ticketmaster and all the other stuff that's going on. And Taylor Swift is coming to Kansas City. The only way really to get tickets now, if you want to go, is Tickets for Less. Ticketsforless.com can get you tickets to anything, including Taylor Swift. She's a bona fide star, a huge mega star. Like, she is the biggest star in music. It's not close. She's the biggest thing in the world. Largely, her songs are about bullying, boy breakups, boys being mean to her. Most of her early songs, that's all it was about. That she's some sort of marginalized, picked on character because she's famous and boys are mean. Well, she very quietly has been in a 6-year relationship with a man named Joe Alwyn, who I think is British and is an actor. I had no idea. This goes to prove how easy it is. If you're a big mega star and you want to have a private life and not have it be public, like Tiger Woods was really good at that for years, right? We didn't know anything about Tiger. We thought, oh, he's buttoned down and private, and you don't know anything about Tiger. And then we knew everything about Tiger, because then he couldn't control it. But this is kind of, Taylor Swift was insanely famous and followed by paparazzi, and her whole life was public, and every little spat was, you know, on the front pages. She pretty quietly had a boyfriend, the same guy, for 6 years, and they just broke up. I got to be honest, I could never be with Taylor Swift. I find her to be, again, I get it. I get the music part and the songs and the connection, and I think there's a good person there. She appears to be very sweet when performing and all those things, but she's a far left loon now. Oh, I couldn't do it. And she's a little whiny. I think she's just got to be insanely high maintenance and far left, and that's not going to work for me. That would never work for me. The $1 billion or whatever she has, that'd be a nice little sidebar. Joe Alwyn is out. Taylor Swift is on the market and touring. She's touring the world, Swifties. There you go. 6 years. Good for her. Good for them. Good for them. I didn't hear. That's the first time I'd heard the guy's name when I heard that they broke up. So there it is. Your final on KKHI. Don't forget to hit the like or follow button if you would, or tell a friend about the podcast. We certainly appreciate it. We're going to have two podcasts coming up on Tuesday. We'll do the regular pod, and then we're going to have a Ryan LaFever interview and kind of, you know, do a deep dive on the Royals. They blew one Sunday, man. They're just getting great pitching. They are getting great pitching. It's not panning out, but they almost got to 4-6 yesterday. They had a 1-0 lead and needed four outs to win the game, and lost 3-1 to the Giants. But Royals win 2 out of 3 over the weekend. They're in Texas now for the next few days, and Ryan LaFever will join us on Tuesday for a bonus pod. We'll do a deep dive into your Kansas City Royals at Kevin Keatsman Has Issues.